The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Yeah, I tell them, I ask them if they understand the stock market. And when do you want to buy stock? You want to buy stock when the stock is down. And right now, we're down, so to speak. But in a year, 2 years, we're going to be all right. We're going to be at the top, and now's the time to jump in. Now's the time to get on board and be part of the reason why Nebraska gets to the top.
Great to have you in. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. The pride of Chicago is Danny Burke back at our ESPN studios. We are outside here in the rail yard, outside the Hail Varsity office. It's going to be a packed rail yard today as Nebraska and Minnesota get rolling at 2:30. Can join us this morning. Hit us up. Dial in 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tweet at us at Hail Varsity, at ESPN Lincoln, and follow us at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, and at Danny Burke 5. Coming up around 7:30 or so, Glenn Mason, Big Ten Network, longtime coach of the Gophers. We'll have that conversation with him in hour two. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, and then the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will be with us. So you have a lot of things to discuss. You have many things to try and find answered. And can Nebraska and Scott Frost and this team get over that hump, right? Think about Presidential Fitness Day when you're in junior high. This may be a biographical story, but you had to do well with the sit-ups. You had to do with the stretch exercise, meaning how bad your beer gut when you're in fourth grade, and can you reach out and stretch and get your toes? Some of us are still winless in that exercise. And then did you pass out running the mile, right? It was a bad, bad Friday when they did that for me in grade school. Nebraska's had a tough, rough season of just being right there but unable to close the door. And is this going to be the different day for Nebraska? What are you reading this morning? We invite you to check out. Log on, HailVarsity.com. Get your mind right as you head into Nebraska, Minnesota. A couple of great stories. One from Jacob Padilla. He always does a padding the stats, defensive woes Nebraska can and can't fix right now. What are some of those woes? We'll get into it. Brandon Vogel will be with him in an hour. And he dives into the Gophers and really offers a great point. Minnesota, Nebraska, a really good test at the right time. We've talked all week long about the mentality of this Nebraska football team. Scott Frost has been positive. The coaching staff has been positive. And I go back to Monday's press conference where they're talking about just when Al Pacino's screaming at you, it's a game of inches. It really is. And a wrong step here, a yard and a half there with where the safety or corners are playing in reference to a wide receiver, and a false step or a misstep a defensive lineman takes. You add those inches or feet together, you hit the quarterback, you make a tackle, you get an interception. A fourth and 10 is not converted once or twice, and you're working on a second consecutive victory instead of a winless season. What comes in with Minnesota? 32 freshmen are seeing many minutes for P.J. Fleck. He has a freshman quarterback that has played giveaway the last three games. 9 turnovers for Minnesota in their last 9 games, 7 of which are interceptions. You have a young right side of the offensive line for the Gophers. How do they line up against a relatively veteran group for Nebraska? This game's going to come down to a lot of things, but it's going to come down to rushing yards, in my opinion. What's Nebraska do running the football? What's Nebraska do stopping the run? Fourth down and situational football, so key as well. And when you look at Nebraska, and where they rank in the Big Ten. It has been maddening for you as a Nebraska fan for the black shirts to get off the field. Can Nebraska get off the field, particularly when they got to have it, when game's in balance, when there's some momentum on the other side? Can Nebraska's defense finally get off the field today? The best and last performance, and you can argue the best performance, but the defense did such a good job out of the gate, pressuring, sacking, harassing Colorado, and they played well enough to win against Troy. But for the most part, there's been lapses defensively. There's been lapses offensively. No complimentary football being played. And you look at Nebraska on third down, their defensive percentage, teams moved the chains at almost 42% on third down. Once moved to fourth down, teams are 6-for-9 against Nebraska. Conversely, Nebraska 1-for-10 on fourth downs. So what's the problem on third down? What's the problem on fourth down for Nebraska? And it's a great couple of questions asked by Jacob Padilla. Is it pass rush or is it coverage? And the right answer is both, right? Do you want a shot and a beer this morning to get going? Yes is the answer. Well, either can help numb the pain of what's going on with the pass rush or the coverage. I'm anxious to see a couple of guys today that were highlighted and asked about this week. Deontay Williams, whatever he's been in, he has been very, very talented, very athletic at being where he needs to be. That's not always the case for him, maybe necessarily 1,000% grasping where his job and his role should be, but the guy's an athlete. He makes plays. I think back to the Michigan game. I think back to the speed with which he came up and made a couple of plays against Northwestern. He's a guy that if Nebraska wants to continue to go man and they believe man defense is the option for them when they bring pressures, well, Deontay Williams is going to get a look. Cam Taylor, freshman talent. Thick, fast, very mature for his age. He's a guy that may get a look as well. That's what decimated Nebraska last Saturday, was how things didn't go well for them when it was man coverage and they were bringing a pressure. And you got to get guys that are more comfortable, maybe better at it. Guys maybe you don't trust as well Monday through Thursday in practice, but it's time to give them a shot during the game with options in man coverage, that being Deontay Williams. And that being Cam Taylor. He had a really good game from Lamar Jackson last week. Can he continue to build as he was benched and he's responded the right way? Can DeCap, DiCaprio Boodle, can he make a change? Can he be a guy that is able to continue to have amnesia, shake off some of those pass interference calls? He leads the Big Ten, or did lead the Big Ten, with 10 pass breakups, but he's been targeted a lot. There's been a lot of balls that were underthrown. You can make a good argument that some of those passes were not catchable. But he was flagged on at least two occasions last week that come to my mind. So with Nebraska's pressures, that'll be key. I don't know that Minnesota's going to want to come in here and throw the ball 30 times. What I do know about Minnesota, thanks to their run game, thanks to what they've been able to do with Mohamed Ibrahim, they're able to go for about 180 against Ohio State. No one's done that since 2014. So despite the youth, the offensive line has made an impression on me that Minnesota has. They played well against Iowa. And you got to ask yourself this question about Minnesota coming in. Is Minnesota a team that is gaining and growing in confidence with that youth? Yes, it'd be the answer. The side of it, though, is you have cumulative effects that you see in the Big Ten as teams get wore down in October and are nubs in November. And where is Minnesota at right now from a black and blue standpoint? How healthy are they? And how physically ready are they? You gear up, you try and stay healthy and get conditioned for a rugged Big Ten season. But when the Big Ten scheduling gods say, Minnesota, here's what you drew at the old Big Ten blackjack table. Put your cigar out. It's a non-smoking room. You get Iowa. You get to go to Ohio State. And welcome to Lincoln. That's where you're at. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tweet at us, at Mark Skurs, and at Schmidt_radio. If you feel like it. You can always tweet at Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, and Danny Burke can give you some picks for entertainment purposes only. Couple of good stories we're talking about, Mark Kranak. Kranak, good to see you, brother. What's shaking?
A good filibuster. I got pulled over.
How'd that work?
Well, I got a warning.
Really?
Look at that.
Did you say, do you know who I am?
I did not, but I did say, I'm co-hosting a radio show, and it starts at like 8 minutes. And so I had to go, but he was awesome. He let me go. Here I am. Thank him.
So where'd you get pulled over, Kranak?
I-80.
Well, okay, but are we talking by the...
Between the 27th Street and 9th Street exit.
Oh.
I was so close.
Well, you were. It's kind of like Nebraska.
I know. So close. Just couldn't finish the drive. Look at that. Yeah, so here we are.
Okay, let's get into a little play-by-play of this.
Yeah, I was going to ask it was just a warning.
No, we can pass the hat around. It's packed down here. They'll fund it, no worries. Okay, how much over were you?
Are we trying to be honest here?
Well, dude, you just got a warning. You're fine.
I might have gone, maybe 10 to 15.
You got a warning for going 15 over?
I mean.
You're living right.
But he's not looking for me, right? Those folks.
Sick the German Shepherd on you?
The patrolmen, the officers, yes, they're looking for crazy speeders, but they're also looking for people with crack pipes, people with warrants. Thankfully, I have neither.
But it's only 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
On me. he's not looking for me.
No, like, obviously not.
He's like, is this guy wasted at 6 a.m.? No.
Not yet. Yeah. You're an upstanding citizen.
Thank you.
Proud father of two. Lovely wife. Great family.
Thank you.
You're the salt of the earth, a proud Nebraskan.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy, my man, that you just got a warning.
Me too. Man, I was serious. I was going to be like, hey, man.
I get the phone call next Saturday. Hey, I got to take stop class. So
oh, God.
Can you cover the 7 a.m. show?
Remember that thing? One of those?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh,
see,
brutal.
My story was the old summer broadcasting class where I'm running late, and I get a speeding ticket on the way down to campus, and then I get towed when I park on campus.
See? Yeah, exactly.
I did the double whammy there.
Moral to the story is wake up earlier, folks.
No, you're fine.
You were
on the way.
I was going to be there.
This morning.
I was
going to
be there.
Moving back to football here, how you feeling about Fleck in Nebraska?
I don't understand. Okay. I feel like Minnesota in general gets no respect.
Right? They don't.
In general. They're sort of almost treated similar to how people talk about Rutgers in some ways.
That they're that low on the food chain.
Not that low, but pretty close.
As in, like, well, they might hang for a while, but you'll win against them. That's kind of the take.
Right. Everybody think, people put Illinois and Rutgers as bottom of the barrel, and then Minnesota's sort of third to last, I think, in terms of just perception. But their performance doesn't – their performances shouldn't tell you that.
No, they with the kill era.
Yeah, it's a weird perception that people have.
They hang with – when we're talking weight class, right? They punch well above their weight class,
and
they very rarely drop games to teams they shouldn't drop. If we're talking like bottom of the barrel, Illinois is improved but not good. Rutgers, poor Chris Ash. I mean, that's just a rough situation.
He should not be a head coach.
Not yet. So you have those two, but I don't know that I put Minnesota right there. Purdue, we'll see what they do against Ohio State.
Purdue gets more respect than Minnesota.
Right, because you got the sexiness of Brom. I just said that.
Wow.
Fleck.
Go ahead and cut that one out.
Fleck is.
Sexiness
I think
of Brom.
Fleck is pretty respected. If you can tune out his, hey, you want to buy this used car, Junior?
People think he's weird. Obviously, and he is weird.
I think people think he's too over intense.
Too much, fake, all that stuff.
Yeah, fake's the best word.
Right, but regardless.
I don't think he's fake to his players. I think he's a wonderful motivational speaker, and I think he comes from a program and his coaching background. He is a freaking constant overachiever.
Look what they did in Columbus, man. I mean, sure okay, Ohio State could have been sleepwalking a little bit.
Was that disinterest?
But...
I think Ohio State's bored, and now people are finding reasons, and this narrative has been created by Urban to kind of challenge his team like Saban does when he screams into the microphone at his press conference to his team about the rush defense and the offensive and defensive line. I think Urban's trying to wake them up. I don't think they're as bad as they've shown.
Oh, maybe not, but compare. What does Nebraska look like the past couple times they've gone into Columbus? Scared.
Well, but Ohio State is no. is ready for them. It's a big game, and Urban wants to put a knife in Nebraska because he still sees Nebraska as a premier program.
Well, whatever. Nebraska doesn't go in thinking like that.
No.
Nebraska goes in caves. What does Minnesota do? They go in and they fight.
They go in and they're going prepared.
You're right. They go in prepared physical. And they go in and they fight. So that's what you're going to get today. You're probably going to get that today. They're going to be sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be stout. Nebraska's probably, I say probably because of the Ozigbo factor all of a sudden. They're probably not going to be able to run it that well against them.
It won't be for big gash gains.
No.
You're going to have to live with 3-4.
And Minnesota's going to keep coming at you with sort of a classic run game in some ways.
They run it about 70% of the time.
Yeah. They're going to keep coming at it. So is Nebraska sturdy enough to stand up to that all game? Are they okay with that?
You don't know.
Are you cool with taking that for four quarters?
That's a worrisome question. Just because the two teams that have wanted to run it have. How big a difference is it between Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota's rushing attack?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think Minnesota's rushing attack is on par, but I was talking here earlier. They went for almost two bills against Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of your bar. What do you do against Ohio State offensively, and how do you do it? And then if you can do it against them, does that translate to other games, other foes?
Yeah, and it's tough to always do that. Like if this team scores this many against that team, right, or has this many yards. But what it told me, though, is they went into Columbus with a freshman quarterback, and they were not scared. And they, toe-to-toe might be a little bit strong.
They're up 14-10, man.
They went Juan Benavidez, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Against Bud Crawford, right?
Yeah.
They stood in the ring.
They finished the fight.
They stood in the ring before finally a knockout blow, but they're going to be there. And look, Nebraska is still – you cannot say – put it this way. I like Minnesota's psyche.
Way better than Nebraska.
More than I like Nebraska's right now. How much pressure is on Minnesota in this game?
None. I mean, you don't want to drop to 0-4 in conference, but there's a little pressure.
Nothing even close to what Nebraska's facing.
Here's the other thing, too. If you're P.J. Fleck, and maybe you love Minnesota, maybe you're P.J. Fleck and you want to stay in the land of 10,000 lakes. I look at Fleck as a guy who, as soon as he has some success, his name will come up if he has success for a bigger program. Okay? Because it's a hard job to win at consistently. We'll talk to Glenn Mason here in about 10 minutes.
I don't agree with that. I really don't. I've always thought.
I think there's underrated talent in the region, and I think the state's under.
And you got a new stadium.
Under recruited. I think there are some very nice positive things about Minnesota, but ultimately you're not going to compete for kids against the East, okay? That are in your region. If someone wants to come in and pluck your best player, like Nebraska did last year, they'll do it.
Well, I think you'd have to.
You have to work it. You have to be beautiful at developing.
Something,
in Minnesota,
right?
You do.
Look, Wisconsin was able to kind of climb out of nowhere, and granted, it's been 20 years in the making.
But there's no reason
why Minnesota couldn't be similar to that.
No, you could be, but I don't know that you'll ever overtake Wisconsin right now as long as Barry Alvarez is at the helm.
And how much longer is that? That's what I'm saying.
Barry looks like he's doing fine. Listen, I think Fleck's a guy. This game's important. It shows the fan base, and it shows his bosses, and it shows college football. You may always peg Minnesota below Nebraska in the West, but they're working on back-to-back wins, just like Purdue has had.
Yeah.
Just like Northwestern has had. Purdue doesn't have them, but you get what I'm saying.
Look.
So it's a big game for Minnesota, just from a conference record standpoint, but also a perception standpoint where, Fleck rolled in and the guy's 2-0 against Nebraska. That means something to his fan base. That means something because they're going to go after and recruit like kids.
Look, Nebraska is going to be facing a fairly anxious fan base today. You know what I'm saying? I don't think if you're Minnesota, you're walking into a hornet's nest. I think you're walking instead into an atmosphere.
You're walking into a nervous.
Yes, yes. You saw how they played against Ohio State last week. I'm just saying, I do not consider this game a gimme by any stretch.
Oh no, absolutely.
I mean,
not
by any stretch. In fact, it's been pretty popular, I think, to pick Nebraska today. I'm sort of done doing that until I see it. You know, like, I don't know. I'll take him against BC next week. I'll tell you that. I think they'll beat Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah.
Outside of that, who knows?
All bets are off.
Who
knows? Is it because you question the talent, or is it the mentality?
Yeah, no. Honestly, it's not the talent. And I don't even think the mentality is that bad, actually. I don't think it's – I think it's improved.
What type of mess are you after last Saturday?
I think it's improved. Yeah, it's a good question. But, I mean, you just rattled off some things, you know, about third down and fourth down and how bad Nebraska is defensively there. That, to me, that speaks more to some sort of execution error or something, because first down and second down, they're pretty good, which tells you that they are capable of being good defensively. Because I've always – the situational football stuff's always driven me crazy, because it's still just – playing defense, right? When people are like, we're bad at third down. Let's practice third down now, everybody.
Well, but it's a big down, and you saw how crucial it's been, and Nebraska's not closed the deal on it.
Totally, totally. But that's also just part of – it's just playing defense. Like, do you in practice say, okay, everybody, it's third down now.
Well, the difference
is – so we really have to tackle them before the line of scrimmage
here's
now.
Here's what's going on. Well, yeah, that goes –
come on.
That goes through some of the 11 guys' heads.
Sure, but
all right, we can't screw up. We've worked hard to get to third down. I can't mess up. What happens? You freak out. You take a wrong step for whatever reason, or you're not as close as you need to be in coverage, or you blow a coverage, or whatever the case may be. But clearly, there's a little PTSD on third and fourth down around
maybe
the defensive side of the
ball.
Well,
it could be that. It could be that. But it's sort of like, if you're good defensively, you'll be good on third down too. If you're good defensively, you'll be good on fourth down too.
No, well,
if you're not very good defensively, well, that'll show itself. Maybe on third. But put it this way. How many people are breaking down Nebraska's second down defense? Nobody. Like, you don't even think about it. You don't talk about it, right? It's just because who knows what they're doing. But, look, it's been poor on third and fourth down, which tells me that they got some they do have some talent issues on defense, I think. Because you can't really point to anybody that says, oh, he's a surefire Sunday guy.
Well, no, you can't do that.
Point to many of those guys.
But I think there's some guys that – maybe they haven't seen enough or didn't feel comfortable enough in practice. And I get that you want guys to practice great Monday through Thursday to earn Saturday. Totally get that. But when push comes to shove, you got to go with your best personnel. And I think they were gun-shy at giving more time to Deontay and Cam.
I see. I love those two.
Right? I mean, if we're just talking athletes and dogs.
Yeah.
And guys that are confident and guys that
physical
have amnesia and they're athletic enough to stay with people.
Yeah.
If you're gonna live and die by this man coverage and bring an extra defender and try and light up the quarterback, you got to have guys that can make a play on third and eight or fourth and ten.
And poor
Aaron Williams got no help. They didn't make an adjustment. And he was targeted 10 times. There were 10 completions. There were 3 penalties of those 10 completions. They waved off. I mean, the guys, Aaron Williams played a lot of really good football at Nebraska. He's one of their best tacklers, arguably one of their top two in the open field. Okay, the guy can play ball. He can set the edge. He can come up and run support. And
He's not good. He's not good chasing faster receivers. Not too many people are.
No,
but that's not his thing.
He was in no win, and then you got to think about the confidence level.
No,
even for a senior, where a guy is just working you.
Yeah,
working you consistently, and the whole world knew where it was going on fourth and 10 or third and 9.
Yeah,
well, and you had no answer.
It's such a fine line, though. When you bring up Deontay Williams, you bring up Cam Taylor. Clearly, on the physical front, they're superior to a lot of what Nebraska trots out there. I think also from a mentality standpoint, when they hit, they hit like trucks. They bring it. So what's holding them back? That factor you just brought up with Aaron Williams.
Knowing
where you're going, what you're doing, because it is such a fine line. And you can just – I know it's a linebacker, not secondary, but point to – The Dietrich Young against Michigan, one half step outside,
and Higdon's gone.
Period. A half step. I mean, it's a quarter of a second. It's that finite.
But it's being unsure or not doing what you've been doing Monday through Thursday.
Yeah. Well, it gets complex, right? I mean, offenses are more complex. Defenses have to kind of match that with being complex. And so when you're a new kid, especially in the secondary, And this is a defense that asks a lot of the secondary. We've talked about that multiple times. If you watch UCF from last year, that secondary stands out because they are a part of things.
That secondary stands out because they had a guy named Griffin just being that dog, that dude that was the game changer.
But they are an active part of every part of that defense. Mm-hmm. You know, they are expected to come up and fill in the run game, I think more so than a lot of defenses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they don't put it all on the front. Everybody gets involved there. And so if you're Cam Taylor or Deontay Williams, yeah, there's probably some things that the coaches have seen in practice where they're like, no way. We can't put this guy out there.
No, because they'll mess up a call.
Right.
They'll break down. They'll be
but they want to.
Lined up wrong. But from a go make a play, mm-hmm. which is what I've heard.
Yeah, it's true.
After the game, which is what I heard Monday, which is what you hear Tuesday, which is what you hear Thursday.
At some point, you got to roll the dice.
You do. Yep. A guy that okay, maybe he'll be wrong, but it'll end up being right because he's just better equipped physically and athletically to guard a guy man-to-man if this is how we want to live and die.
Yeah. And I love how those guys play. And I think the biggest thing that you see with them is all of their hits are their actual hits.
Their pops.
yeah, you know? And I think you get enough of those guys, you start to change the complexion of that defense a little bit. I think right now the defense doesn't really have that.
They're still just swimming, man. They're searching.
Yeah.
That's Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. We're here in the Rail Yard, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. We're outside the Hail Varsity offices. Pop on by, get yourself a Hail Varsity t-shirt. Going to be a great party this morning and into the afternoon. 96 kicks in the Rail Yard. Get you rolling here as Nebraska-Minnesota kicks off at 2:30. And maybe you need to work on that tailgate body. I'm raising both hands. The biggest sale of the year going on with your friends at Madonna Proactive. Biggest sale of the year. Join Madonna Proactive now. Nothing until January. Pay zero. Till January. 56th and Pine Lake Road is where Madonna Proactive is at, 402-420-0000, or go online, madonnaproactive.org. When you get signed up at Madonna Proactive, full access to an incredible fitness facility, consultation with a certified personal trainer, a one-hour session with a wellness coach, and a consultation with a registered dietitian. And let me tell you from personal experience, I love what they offer. I can take Junior there. He can work on his three-point game. I can go swim. I can also get on the old cardio equipment. The strength training machines are phenomenal. My flexibility, I laid that out there with the fourth grade fitness testing earlier. But maybe some yoga is in my future. TRX classes, over 130 classes with your membership. It's not extra. They've got some kickboxing going on. Mark Kranak was a world champion pickleball player. Mm-hmm. They have that at Madonna Proactive. So what I'm telling you here, pay nothing now through till January 2019 when you get signed up. That is free fitness for you at the best facility in Lincoln with your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. A quick timeout and a longtime Gopher coach, also part of that Big 8 love down in Rock Chalk Land, Glenn Mason. When we come back, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, a coach that Nebraska fans know well. Great to have back on the show, Glenn Mason, longtime coach at Kansas and with the Minnesota Golden Gophers, part of the Big Ten Network. Coach Mason, thanks for the time. How are you?
Well, I'm great. You know, it's amazing you say longtime coach at Kansas. Every week, it seems like I run into somebody. I was just flying back from Chicago last night, and a gentleman, retired guy, lives now at Scottsdale, but a big Nebraska fan stopped me, and he says, "Coach, we just loved when you were at Kansas." I said, "Sure you love me. You beat me every year I was there. Why wouldn't you love me?"
Let's give yourself some credit. You had some incredible teams in Kansas in 1993. I'm still sweating about.
Well, it's everybody says that we didn't have overtime back then, and I scored with 52 seconds left to go in the game. And needless to say that Nebraska had a chance for on a run for a national championship, and I had to make a decision. Do I go for two and win, or do I kick it and tie and see if we could hold on? And I went for two, but it didn't work.
Well, you made the right call. Nebraska fans applaud anyone that'll go for two. I tell you that. They respect it. And, Coach, I wanted to ask you about the two programs you took over that I think resonate with a lot of folks, that what you did at Kansas, that what you did at Minnesota, took the Gophers to heights they really hadn't seen. When it came to putting your plan in place and going to work, how did you go about it? How did you want to build a program? And I ask that because Coach Frost is doing his thing here in Lincoln, and Nebraska's in the midst of it now.
But, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, it's, you know, typically when you make coaching changes, it's because the program isn't in very good shape, with the exception when coaches leave for bigger and better things. And so when you go in as a new coach and you're one of those that go in, the change was made because things weren't going well, if you think it's going to happen just overnight, it's not. There's a lot of things that you got to change. I don't think there's one common denominator that you can compare to all programs, but there's a lot of things that you have to change. And, you know, you start at square one, and you, one thing you need to do, you can't be a knee-jerk reaction guy. You've got to have a belief. You've got to have a plan, and you put it in place, and you just keep going away, keep chopping away at it. And just because you have some setbacks, you don't change it. And as long as you hang in there long enough, the people have enough faith in you, and you know what you're doing, normally you turn it around.
Glenn Mason's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, part of the Big Ten Network. You see him do analyst work in studio. You hear him on games with the Big Eight in Kansas and, of course, Minnesota in the Big Ten. What were you expecting when you made the transition to the Big Ten? And what was the league like as you got comfortable and did a decade plus there? What sticks out about the Big Ten when you were in it? What impressions do you have about the league as a whole now?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, first of all, I thought that the old Big Eight was a great football conference, you know, second to none. And, you know, back in those days, you think about how good Nebraska was, how good Oklahoma was. Oklahoma State had the best team money could buy. Colorado was on their way to – I mean that seriously. Come on now. And Colorado was on their way, you know, to a national championship with Bill McCartney. It was just an absolutely great football conference. And then I ventured to Minnesota, and I had been a Big Ten guy. I played at Ohio State. I coached at Ohio State. I coached at the University of Illinois, and a large part of my assistant coaching background, I recruited that part of the Midwest. And it was another great, you know, football conference. The big difference, probably the stadiums were a little bit bigger the week in and week out than the Big Eight was. But as we go forward, you know, there for a number of years, the Big Ten was down. Not much respect. And I think mainly that was because every conference has their marquee teams. And the marquee teams in the Big Ten arguably would be Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and the University of Nebraska. And there for a while, you know, Ohio State was the only one upholding their end of the bargain. Nebraska wasn't Nebraska. Michigan had taken a turn for the worse. Penn State had all kinds of problems they had to deal with. But it's coming back. You know, you look at it, Ohio State, it seems like they haven't missed a beat. Penn State's pretty good. Harbaugh's got Michigan running. And I think with due time, Scott Frost will have Nebraska back being Nebraska.
Glenn Mason's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What sticks out to you about P.J. Fleck at Minnesota? I thought Coach Kill did a great job. I thought his staff was tremendous. They were big and tough and physical, and they developed extraordinarily well. And Jerry's no longer there, and Fleck is there now, and I think he's playing so many freshmen. I've been pretty wowed with what they've done the last 2 weeks. They were right there with Iowa. They were really good against Ohio State, specifically the rush defense and their rushing attack. What have you seen from Fleck that impresses you?
Well, first of all, he does a lot of talking, I can tell you that. I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, that's his style. He's out front. He's always talking. You ask him what time it is, he's going to tell you how the watch was made. But he's done a good job. He's playing a lot of young players. You know, I don't know why the trend is, but it seems like every team I cover anymore in the Big Ten seems like they're playing a lot of young players. Maybe not as many as Minnesota is, but he's got a plan. He's starting a true freshman quarterback, which we all know is tough to do. He's really done a good job because he's lost some of his best players. He lost both top running backs in Shannon Brooks and Rodney Smith, and then Antoine Winfield Jr. was his best defensive player, and he lost to him injury. And he's got the kids believing. They're playing hard. They've lost a couple games in a row, but they've been tight, as you mentioned, and I'm sure that he's looking forward to getting on the plane and going out to Lincoln, Nebraska and playing the Cornhuskers, who haven't won a game yet. And when you're coaching, when you're playing a team that hasn't won a game yet, that scares the heck out of you.
Coach, a thought here on what is Minnesota's identity going to be? Are they going to be a line of scrimmage team? Are they going to be a pressure team on defense? I have not seen much of them. What do your eyes tell you about their strengths this year?
Well, they're going to try to run the football, and I can tell you that, you know, they're down to the third and fourth team running back, but Ibrahim,
yeah,
who's in there right now, is really doing a good job. He's a tough runner. Their offensive line is getting better, so you know, they're going to try to run the football. As we all know, a running game is a quarterback's best friend, and you know, if you're a freshman quarterback, you better have a best friend. I think on offense, they've got as good a receiver core. They've got about four guys that are really playing well. Tyler Johnson is a wide receiver. They like to throw a lot of slant routes, and he can really do something once he gets his hands on the ball. A freshman Rashad Bateman is another guy in that role. Chris Alton Bell is another guy that's, you know, has played some and has caught my eye. And then Demetrius Douglas is a kid that played last year, then got injured. He's back. But as a core, those four guys, they can cause some problems. And on defense, they're very aggressive. They do a really good job of pressuring the passer. They've got one defensive end. He's an undersized defensive end that used to be a linebacker, Carter Coughlin. He had a couple sacks and a fumble forced last week. I think he's leading the Big Ten in sacks right now. Blake Cashman, a linebacker that came here to Minnesota as a walk-on. Some guys make plays and some guys don't make plays. That guy makes a lot of plays. So they got a really good field goal kicker. And, you know, by and large, you know, are they a great football team? No. But they're a good, hard-playing football team that if they don't make mistakes, the other team makes mistakes, they can beat anybody.
Well, you mentioned mistakes, and Nebraska leads the nation in penalties. So many on offense, so many on defense. They're trying to get that cleaned up. Nebraska's lost a lot of games the last few years. They've lost 10 consecutively dating back to last year, but I don't know that I've seen a game like last weekend in Evanston with being up by 10 with 5 minutes left and it just falling apart for Nebraska. What's Coach Frost going through right now, Coach Mason, and what do you think Nebraska can become under Frost?
Well, first of all, they're up by 10 with 2:27 left to go in the game. I think that's right.
Yep.
You know, the one thing about it, you don't want to play Northwestern in overtime. Pat Fitzgerald has won five straight overtime games. It's unbelievable. But I can only imagine, I can empathize with Coach Frost, what he's going through. If it wasn't his alma mater, if it wasn't the University of Nebraska, he'd probably be thinking to himself, why did I leave Central Florida in the first place? Because those guys are still rolling. But I'm sure that it's being a little bit more difficult or a lot more difficult, you know, than he thought. You know, I've watched his press conferences. I like his demeanor. He's not panicking. His confidence isn't shook. He thinks he'll get turned around, and he knows that, you know, the old adage that you got to avoid losing before you can win is so true, and the worst enemy Nebraska has to date has been Nebraska because they've self-destructed.
That they have. What impresses you about this Nebraska team, and what's a couple of factors that helped them get it done Saturday, if that happens?
Well, you know, from the time that I saw J.D. Spielman, I had a game, I think the first game that he played, and, you know, he caught my eye. And, you know, I knew the family, obviously, his dad, Rick Spielman's the general manager of the Vikings, and I recruited his uncle, Chris Spielman, to Ohio State, and his dad, Sonny, would be his grandfather. Sonny Spielman was a coach at Ohio that I knew, you know, very, very well. But I think, you know, he's really a good player. I'm anxious to see the Cornhuskers play because I hear nothing but good things about Martinez, you know, the quarterback. You know, it's every time I watch the Cornhuskers play, I think back to the 90s when they were so, so good. No one ran the football better than they did. Nobody played better defense than they did. I know a lot of younger Cornhusker fans get mad at me when I made statements about the black shirt defense. When they referred to black shirts now, They don't even resemble the black shirts that I remember back in the 90s. So it's not a criticism. I say that, you know, with great respect. But I just have a feeling that when you look at Nebraska right now, they're probably the best 0-6 team in the country. They're a lot better than that. I look at it because very unfortunate for a first-year coach's opening game gets canceled because of weather. All coaches talk about your team makes the most improvement between week one and week two. He plays a very good Colorado team in week two, and he loses a close game. I have a feeling if he had a game under his belt, they would have won that game. I think they play Troy next, and if they would have been 2-0, they'd probably beat Troy. And then even as last week, you talk about the Northwestern game. That's hard to explain. Most people, including Scott Frost, would say, we should have won that game. You talk about winning the opener, beating Colorado, beating Troy, beating Northwestern. We're not even having this conversation right now.
Glenn Mason, Big Ten Network, longtime coach at Kansas and Minnesota. Coach, great to spend a few minutes with you again. Thanks for the time today.
Well, I always love visiting Nebraska, talking to guys from Nebraska, and I am ecstatic that I'll be going to Lincoln next weekend to watch the Cornhuskers play Bethune-Cookman.
That'll be great to have you in, Coach. Best to you, and thanks for the time.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here in the Rail Yard Weekend Edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Mr. Chris Gorman is filming us. That sounds a little weird, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, big thanks to Mr. Gorman on the coffee field trip. We're going to get fueled up here in a minute. Danny Burke is back at our ESPN studios. Coming up, Brandon Vogel will be with us. HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll run down the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp, and don't forget, you got the kickoff party going on out here in the rail yard with your friends at 96 Kicks this afternoon. Yes, you have Big Red Reaction back again here from the rail yard. Nick Gregeth do a great job with Danny Burke and Willie J. So it's going to be on today as Nebraska gets ready for Minnesota and gets your read on here, get educated on this contest, the breakdowns with HailVarsity.com. Danny Burke is telling me to shut up and go to commercial again because it's flown. And you miss any part of the show, you're welcome to log on. Take the podcast with HailVarsity.com. We'll get it to you. Or iTunes. Hour two on the way. Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp with Hail Varsity.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranick.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick. We are here in the rail yard getting things set up for Nebraska, Minnesota. As could be, might be, it is, win number one for Scott Frost. We've been talking about that for a lot of the season. We'll see if it happens today. We are excited to welcome in tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel. Follow him on Twitter at Brandon L. Vogel. The latest issue of Hail Varsity Magazine out, Lou Gifford on the cover, and one of many fantastic stories in the latest issue. It was all yellow is what it's called, a breakdown of the Nebraska penalties. Vogues, when you started in on this project to do a feature on the penalty issue for Nebraska, what is it, was the result or the numbers as bad as you anticipated? Good morning, thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you. They're probably a little bit worse. So the notable thing about it for Nebraska was the penalty yardage, in particular on defense. They were averaging over almost 12 and a half yards per penalty, which, you know, most penalties on defense are between or either 10 or 15 yards. So to some degree that makes sense, but that's above average. I went through and looked at the average for all defensive penalties this season so far, and it's closer to about 10. So you look at it and you're like, man, there sure have been a lot of pass interference, roughing the passer. You know, I can't remember the exact percentage, but a good deal of Nebraska's defensive penalties have been under the 15-yard variety. And when you're struggling defensively to keep points off the board, giving up free yards like that is certainly a big part of the reason why.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. It's uncanny, isn't it? And, it's I think it's somewhat related to this because Nebraska gets in pressure situations and they don't necessarily respond well to that pressure. You see what they're doing on third down. You see what they're doing on fourth down. When you compare that to what they're doing on first and second down, it's like you're talking about two entirely different defenses. Are you seeing – is that normal? Or do you see other defenses have that great of a disparity between their success between downs?
No, this is a little bit unique. You know, Coach Shenander mentioned it this week, showing the team sort of what they are in their base calls. And, you know, we don't know what those numbers are, but you just kind of trust them. And he said they're pretty good. So why are they, you know, having these kind of high-profile failings in leverage situations where, you know, it's third and long, you have the advantage over an offense? And that's a tough one to figure out. You know, that they try to dial up some pressure, and it hurt them last week in coverage. Prior to Northwestern, they kind of dialed back pressure, and they still weren't kind of getting off the field on those third and fourth downs. So that one's a really tough one to figure, because you could say Nebraska is putting itself in position to get off the field relatively often. It just hasn't been able to, and I haven't been able to figure out exactly why.
Brandon Vogel with Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, Brandon, when you look at penalties also, and I love that you broke them down defensively versus offensively, UCF, Oregon, they're always fairly heavily penalized teams, but the excuse you hear, the reason you hear is because, well, they run a lot of offensive plays, so there's just more of a chance, and then the tempo, and, you know, there's just more chance for procedural type stuff to happen. Were you able to see if the defensive penalties this year for Nebraska are higher than maybe what you would have seen at an Oregon or a UCF, or do you not know?
Yeah, I didn't break it down for those teams individually, so I don't know offhand. All I can tell you is the average yards, like I said, is usually a little bit over 10. Nebraska's at about 12.5. You know, it would be interesting to see what they were at UCF last year on the defensive side, because, like you said, you know, you kind of look at a team like UCF and assume they have a bunch of false starts. You know, Nebraska, at least offensively, big issue has been holding, which, you know, probably isn't much of a surprise, but even that's a little bit elevated above what you'd expect.
Brandon Vogel's with us here. We're down in the rail yard. Weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, just outside the Hail Varsity offices. We invite you down here to get ready and cranked up for Nebraska, Minnesota. Break down P.J. Fleck. It's year two for him. He's a couple of games under 500, I believe, maybe a few more than a couple, but he's done okay as he goes into year two. Mark and I were talking about this in hour one. How big a game is this for Minnesota? Many of us talk about Nebraska striving for that first win, 0-6. It's been draining. And we don't even play, right? Minnesota, what does this game represent for them?
I think it's pretty big for Minnesota. You know, Fleck is interesting in that I don't think he had a traditional year one. Last year's Minnesota team was relatively experienced, certainly compared to this team when you look at the number of freshmen they're playing now. So this season almost feels like the truer year one, even though they're 2 years in. So I think it's interesting from that perspective. Minnesota played pretty well against both Iowa and Ohio State, which I'm sure they've been hearing about all week long. So it's not like they come in here, even though those were, you know, more than one score losses. They played pretty well in a lot of facets, and they're just really young. So I would be surprised if Fleck and the Gophers didn't look at this as, hey, let's stay ahead. You know, they have a year advantage on Nebraska in terms of a coaching transition. Let's try and keep that going and stay ahead of the Huskers here by going into their stadium and beating them. And they played well enough the last couple of weeks where, I mean, I don't think that would be a shocking result at all.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, it's funny with Minnesota, Brandon. Sleeping giant is probably too strong of a word, but when you look at the alsos in the Big Ten. So take Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and even Iowa. Take them off the table. From the seven kind of also-rans in the Big Ten in terms of name and stature and all that.
We can call them the others.
The others. Out of that group, if I had to pick a program to start with that had a chance to kind of move into that, move into maybe the upper echelon of the Big Ten in terms of perception and prestige and all that, I'd go with Minnesota out of any of those other seven. What about you?
I would probably have Minnesota behind Purdue, but it's pretty close. And Minnesota has a lot to offer. I feel like the talent level in state, it seems to be rising. It seems like, you know, just viewing it from a Nebraska recruiting perspective, you start to see more and more Minnesota guys kind of show up on the radar. So there's that part of it. It's a huge school. It's obviously kind of brand new facilities and an enticing city for a person to go to college. So I think they have a lot to offer. It's just their history, you know, is really good if you go way far back. But this, you know, the Kill era had some success, but really you're looking at the Glenn Mason years for the last time Minnesota was at its best for a relatively long stretch. And I think that's part of the reason, like Purdue might even just be a little bit more frequent than that, or more recent than that, which might be why they get the benefit of the doubt from most people. I think Minnesota has a lot to offer.
What about Dave Winfield though, man? I mean, you just totally left him off of the thing.
And Prince and Kirby Puckett.
then we go way back beyond Glenn Mason even then. See, so that's the problem. You got to go all the way back to Dave Winfield. He was like the fourth guy we mentioned, the list of great Gophers.
Well, just Minnesotans. How about Jesse Ventura and Steve Walsh, the old Hurricane mullet-wearing quarterback?
I didn't know he was from Minnesota.
St. Paul.
Nice.
Vogues, what's your key stat for today? I mean, you're a great numbers man, and Nebraska wins if they win this stat. What is it?
Yeah, there's probably a couple. I'll be really interested to watch the turnover numbers here, just because both Nebraska and Minnesota have turned it over a lot offensively. So who kind of wins that one? But I think the real big one for Nebraska's offense will be sort of staying on schedule. So you can measure that with success rate. But just watch how Nebraska's doing on first and second down. Minnesota ranks fifth in the country in the number of first downs allowed that take at least two. So that means that, you know, you're not getting a first down on first or second. You got to go all three. And it's tough for a offense, particularly a young offense, which I would classify Nebraska as, to do that. So they're going to have some success on first and second down. If they're getting some chunk plays in the run game too, that's something that I wouldn't come in projecting as likely. So if it's happening, that's usually a pretty good sign that something has slipped for Nebraska.
How do you feel about Nebraska's first down success? It's a neutral down, can run or throw, and I don't know what Nebraska's averaging on first down. You may, but it seems like they are very, very hit and miss. I don't mean to be obvious with it, but they go long stretches where they just don't complete a first down pass. It seems like when they've run the football on first down, it's been all right. It's been second and five or better. What where do you think Nebraska goes? Are they going to try and have to throw on first to open up the run, or are they going to just try and let Ziggy and Mo do their thing on first down and let try and get to second and six?
I think they'll try that, and see what you can get against a pretty good Gopher front seven. But it wouldn't surprise me if they end up in a spot where they have to throw. For a team that's putting up as many yards as Nebraska is at this point, you know, we all know that's different than points, but they're putting up a lot of yards. They're not that efficient on first down. So you think of what it has been, and then start to think what it could be with a little bit better there. And I think you're right. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but running the ball, they seem to be okay. They can get 4 or 5 yards when they want to on first down, it seems. Passing game, they, you know, they throw a lot to the sidelines, throw a lot of those bubble and tunnel screens and all that stuff. And I feel like, you know, all season long, whether it's been first down or second down, those haven't been, you know, big plays for Nebraska. They've worked. They've got completions. They've picked up some first downs that way at key spots, but you're still kind of waiting for that to really look like a dangerous weapon rather than just something else for a defense to defend.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Okay, does this come back to the kind of the it was all yellow article? How does Nebraska have Adrian Martinez? He ranks 20th in the country in total offense. Nebraska's 109th in scoring. Is that just penalties? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, penalties are a big part of it because you start to – I mean, the fourth down that Nebraska ended up going for against Wisconsin in the first half is kind of the perfect example. So Nebraska's going down the field. It gets first down inside the 40. It's officially a scoring opportunity based on all the stats that I look at. And that play dies basically on a holding penalty. You're in no man's land. You got to go for it. So Nebraska got credit for all those 60 yards or whatever they covered to that point, and you come away with no points. I would have to go back and look at the numbers that I tallied, but Nebraska's drives that have a penalty and include points is really low. I think there are maybe three or four examples of it all season. So go back and tally up all of the field goals and touchdowns Nebraska has, and then just subtract maybe three or four, and that'll tell you how important a non-penalty drive has been for Nebraska.
Am I smoking crack here, Brandon? Or
am I going to rat you out?
Don't. Or is Divine Azigbo working his way into potentially being look at the last two games and then physically what he's doing? He wiggles in small spaces all of a sudden. He's big. He can accelerate. Is he working himself into being a potential NFL guy?
He might be. You know, it's the way that he keeps playing. You know, he showed up on Pro Football Focus's midseason All Big Ten team. Like, he's playing at a really high level, and I think he'll certainly get a shot. You know, if he continues at this rate, he's going to have a lot of opportunities provided he stays healthy over the next six games. You know, he's going to work himself into all conference potential, I think, for sure. Wow. Just based on the last couple of games. So anytime you can do that, you'll probably get a pretty fair look, at least from the NFL.
Vogues, before we say goodbye, I need a good speeding ticket story.
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's probably like 19 or so, going back from Hemingford to Hastings College, driving on Highway 2, you know, nothing out there except a bunch of tall, small towns that you go through in like 30 seconds, but you have to slow down for. Well, I did slow down, got through the town, and started speeding up as I could see the speed sign ahead of me. Well, I got dinged. Cop pulled me over. Asked me if I had any drugs on me, which I'm 19. I had never experienced before. I was like, no. He's like, well, do you mind if I search your car? And I was like, sure, go ahead, which I know I now know you don't have to do, but I wasn't worried about it because I didn't have any drugs. So, yeah, that was a small town cop was after a big score. Unfortunately, I was not that person.
Dang it. Maybe next time.
Did you swallow all the balloons?
I had a contact case, you know, it was like one of those cylinders. He pulled that out of my bag and he's like, what is this? That's a contact like, case, an empty one at that.
What about these? That's film.
Are you sure? I need to check your tires, son.
What about these? That's catnip.
Jeez. Bogues, I can imagine you in the back seat just quietly listening to music or something in the back of the cop car. He's freaking tearing your ride apart and you're just smiling and being a pleasant human.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly the scene, except I was on the side of the road. Just, it was a nice day, at least.
Man, why do you think he got pulled over? I mean, I know you got dinged speeding, but maybe it was three or four. I didn't ask you this. How far over the limit were you?
No, and I mean, not that far because it, like, it was going out of town where...
Not far enough to warrant a drug search.
No, not that. I did not blow through town.
Fun.
Did you have a Grateful Dead sticker on your bumper?
No, I did not. I don't think that I gave off the vibe of a Grateful Dead fan in any way. I mean, I was 19 and in college, and my car was, like, jammed full of stuff. So maybe that was it.
I just thought you lived there. It's all right. Vogues, have a tremendous Saturday, and thanks for everything. Great to chat with you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Peter Cetera sticker? Yeah. That's a surefire way to not get pulled over. You're like, there's no way. You got Richard Marks and... Peter Cetera on the back. They're like, yeah, there's no chance. There's no chance this guy does anything.
See, the old warning sign that gets Ralphie the canine German Shepherd all tail wagging is if you got the old Grateful Dead bumper sticker and the Christmas tree air fresheners, right?
Oh, man. I was thinking about that. How fun would that be to maybe just, you know, do 90
fun?
From Colorado? Of course. And just load your trunk up with, like, film canisters, catnip, all these things that look like it but aren't.
A case of coffee.
Right.
Right.
A bunch of flour that's, like, really vacuum sealed and taped up. You know, just to, I don't know, keep them honest out there.
Right. I want to tell you about your friends at Wilderness Ridge. How about winter wines? Good food, good wine, good friends, good times. Gather your friends. Enjoy an evening of wine paired with a 5 made-from-scratch course presentation by restaurant chef Mike Perkins and executive sous chef George Lucian. Get your reservations now with your friends at Wilderness Ridge. Tuesday, November 27th, winter wines. 5 courses paired with incredible wine, 6:30, November 27th. Can log on wildernessridge.com or give them a shot, 402-434-5118. Go see Shuey and your friends as well to get that fall golf tee time. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, will join us with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7 1/2 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, weekend edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're in the rail yard just outside the Hail Varsity offices. And gorgeous morning. It's crisp. It's cool. It's Big Ten football weather. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning. 357 days, gentlemen. The last time Nebraska won a football game. I have a feeling that it won't get to 358, but I can only do so much.
You can only do so much. And Sharpie, you're an idea guy, man. You're very creative. You have great marketing ideas. How do you imagine Nebraska fans celebrating after that win today? Are we talking streamers? Are we talking M80s? Are we talking just cheersing with a buddy? How will this streak celebration that hopefully ends if you're a Nebraska fan be kicked off and tapped off tonight?
Pure relief. I think when you've gone through the kind of season that Nebraska has had, especially after last weekend, that any victory, and let's be honest, there's no sugarcoating. Nebraska's 0-6 for a reason, and they've struggled for a while, and they haven't won a football game in a year. So when you win a football game, I think it's relief, and it's almost like once you get that 900-pound gorilla out of the way, then Nebraska football can move forward with Scott Frost. You thought it would happen back in September. It didn't. So now today, I think you'll find a team that is mad. After the way last week ended, they went from being stunned to being angry that they had that football game and did a lot of good things in that game, but didn't do enough good things to win. But I think you'll find a mad team. I hope the stadium is angry. Hey, it's not you, Minnesota. It's us. We got to take care of us. And I think after 60 minutes of football today, I think it's a relief that Nebraska has a victory, and now you can move forward and start to stack consistently good performances that either lead to a really good feeling or lead to victories, which is the bottom line.
That all sounds great, Gary. It really does. Like, you know, winning a football game sounds amazing. What if they don't? What is this place like?
You know what? I think you say, hey, send me that alert on my phone when signing day is in December. Because just put your arms around the reality that if Nebraska doesn't win today, and again, Minnesota has 85 scholarship guys. Well, Minnesota has scholarship guys, and they're coming here to compete, and they think that their road to a bowl game is winning today in Lincoln as a slight underdog, even though they have a better record, is you would have to search for your first victory in the Scott Frost era would be against Bethune-Cookman, which I guarantee that no one walking the face of the earth predicted that Scott Frost's first victory in Nebraska would be in late October against Bethune-Cookman. I think also if you're not able to win today after some of the things you said this week and some of the progress that you've seen that hasn't yielded results, boy, that's a tough Monday to go back to work because I think a lot of guys are convinced that they put in the time, they've had a good week of preparation, that they're going to win today. I brought that up the other day, and people said, hey, quit being negative. I said, it's been 357 days since Nebraska won a football game. Do they know how to win? I think they know how to win today, but I don't want that. You don't want that feeling because then next week you have a game where Nebraska is still searching for the first victory and every seat in the house costs $6 and you don't know how many of those seats will be full.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, the words need to matter, and Coach Frost has been pretty blunt since he got to Nebraska. That's his style. He's honest. He'll shoot you straight. And you have a team full of guys that have had a lot of transition in their careers, some more than others. And it kind of goes to the point where you do need a win. Otherwise, it's pretty hard to get back to Monday. What's been your takeaway with Coach Frost's narrative and just how positive? He's been real, but he's been positive about the team's progress that we don't get to see. Do you think that is on his part trying to accentuate the positive, or do you think it is something that has stuck out to him above all else that these guys do know how to come back to work?
Well, I think the one thing is Scott is from day one has been brutally honest, and whether you like it or not, he's going to tell you exactly what it is. If he says they had a great week of practice, he's not just blowing smoke because he knows how everybody grasps onto things here. If he says they had a great week of practice, they had a great week of practice. I think his biggest challenge right now through this whole process, and you know, it started when he showed up in January to when they take the field against Minnesota today, and PJ Fleck can, you know, they can commiserate at midfield about changing culture and getting guys on the right page, is what happens if they have good preparation Monday through Thursday, what happens on Saturday at kickoff? Because it's all mental now, guys. I mean, it is purely mental. There are some physical things that you're not going to be able to overcome in the course of the season. There's some guys that you have stretched as far as you can in terms of their talent. You're not going to get much out of them, but you're getting ultimate out of them now. It's all mental at this point, and how does Nebraska solve that issue to get over that mental hurdle where you can see that they're playing good football? I mean, guys, last week, two guys that get hammered a lot on talk shows in this state, and I'm one of them, mm-hmm. I'm very critical because I think they can be better. Lamar Jackson and Didrick Young,
yep.
They both played really
ball.
Well last week. They played really well last week, and no one talks about them because what happened at the end of the day, they lost. So it's a mental thing with this whole team about finishing and when always be closing. That's what I say is mm-hmm. whether you're in sales or whether you're in football, and it doesn't matter if it's the fourth quarter. I say in the first quarter when you get up, always be closing, looking to throw that knockout punch. I mean, Nebraska, what happens today, guys, if they get up by two touchdowns? That was the first time last week they were up by two touchdowns, and we saw how they handled it. I think they handled it differently, but until they cross over that mental hurdle so that they can just let things go in their preparation, that's the issue right now for Nebraska. And I don't know if Scott has an answer for that in the moment in a season which you've lost your first six games.
Gary, it's so funny you bring that up about how they handled it. Once they went up by two touchdowns, you saw the shots on the sideline. Frost was smiling, you know, he was like happy. There
some
was
relief.
Yeah, there was a little bit of high-fiving kind of happening, like, we got this in the bag. I mean, did that surprise you a little bit? And do you think even Frost himself was maybe rethinking how he handled them being up?
No, I think when you're in this kind of a season, you celebrate success. And there was no sense that, man, Northwestern is in this football game, even though you're up by two scores. They learned a harsh lesson that they left the door open for Northwestern to come back into the game, and you didn't make a play. I was okay. I think guys were like, whoa, finally. But they learned a big lesson from that is you weren't done yet. And I thought with 13-plus minutes to go, Mark, I thought this was a great opportunity to let out all the anger of the previous 5 weeks, and it just didn't happen. Somebody didn't say it. Stand up in the huddle or on the sidelines and say, it's not happening, fellas. I've been part of these losses too many times. I'm going out there to make a play. Where was that? That's a little bit of a mental thing. And then also, let's also give credit for what happened on Saturday. Clayton Thorson made some big boy NFL-type throws in small windows, and he had a wide receiver in Flynn Nagel that caught anything that was near Lake Michigan. So give credit to them. But one play here or there, I absolutely agree with what Scott said after the game. That makes a big difference for Nebraska. I mean, look at Divine Azigbo at the end of the game. What do you say to him? Hey, Divine, you had a great game. And he'll go, well, we're 0-6. Now we got to go on to the next game. It's been a crazy year. Things have happened, guys, that none of us have ever been through. That's why today I hope guys play mad, and I hope it's not a close game, and it's not a fourth-quarter game. It's a game where Nebraska comes out, all three phases are on the same page, and they play well from the start, and Minnesota just can't keep up.
Sharpie, a thought here on how Nebraska can be different today than last Saturday, be it with the pass rush or when they go man coverage and bring an extra rusher. That's been a topic of conversation all week. I like hearing Deontay's name. I like hearing Cam's name as some options. And it's easy to armchair and say, okay, why weren't those guys in more? They were in some. But you mentioned Nagel. I mean, just went off. Can Nebraska make the adjustment, and how do they match up, in your opinion, against Minnesota when you got a guy in Minnesota with their freshman quarterback that's been on a just a brutal turnover streak, 9 in the last 3-7 picks. Is today the day Nebraska gets better man coverage, makes a play? The secondary has a couple of interceptions. They continue that this week against a guy that is known to throw it away. And do they get home? Do they have more of a Colorado-esque type day getting after the quarterback, being successful?
Well, I think there's some scheming in that, whether you're coming with 4, 5, or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nebraska has some talent issues in terms of guys that are not built to rush the passer either at this stage in their career, where your best defense might be your base defense. But I think, again, Zach Anakstad, the quarterback from Minnesota, you can confuse him a little bit. You can hurry him up and hurry him into bad decisions. But I think Nebraska is strictly playing their base defense and playing sound, because today you shift. You're going to find a team that would rather run the football than throw the football, as Northwestern just completely abandoned the run last week. So guys are going to have to be better at acknowledging their run fits and lane and gap integrity to be good against Minnesota today. But I think you'll see Chenander dial up some different stuff, probably not to the volume that you saw last week at Northwestern, because I think there's only so much he can do, and I think there's only so much which guys are put in that position can do. Nebraska right now on the defensive side of the football is who they are. They're not going to change much. It's probably on the offensive side where you look at some of the younger guys and you say, you know what, in the last half of the season, I think they can make the next jump to this. On the defensive side, outside of a couple of young guys, I think we've seen the full gamut of the strength of every player that has played so far.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, I caught a little bit of your televised game last night. You do high school in Omaha. TJ and AL over in Council Bluffs. And Cameron Baker, that was the first time I've seen him in person. He's a guy that Iowa was on, you and I, North Dakota State, Wyoming, Nebraska have been talked about as having interest, not necessarily an offer. Do you think he's worked himself into maybe being worthy? And for folks that have not seen him, what's he like?
Well, he's a two-way player. He went over 5,000 career rushing yards last night, 50 touchdowns for CBTJ. He actually grew up as a Nebraska fan. He grew up in Ralston, and then his family moved to Council Bluffs when he was young. He still remained a Nebraska fan. He was at Junior Day back in the spring. Nebraska has never offered him. Iowa has had some interest, not much of late. He's a guy, though, that has been bothered by some shoulder injuries. He's played a lot of football in 4 years on the varsity team at CBTJ. He's a guy that's very physical. He's not a burner. I think he's a solid middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's got some great football IQ. He moves laterally very well. He's got a lot of upper body strength. He's got a body that you can put about 20 to 25 pounds on and make him a lot stouter. I think probably the best case scenario for him, I think for his development, would be to stay in Council Bluffs and go to Iowa Western. But I know the North Dakota State and Northern Iowa are interested. He may be, once he gets a full bill of health, and there's no academic issues here, he's a 4.0 student. I think once he gets a full bill of academic, or health, I beg your pardon, I think you'll see the bigger Power 5 schools come back in. I'm not sure where Nebraska stands right now. Might be a preferred walk-on offer, but I wouldn't surprise me if Iowa Western was the best choice for him.
Sharpie, want to go national here for a minute. A lot of big games. Washington State hosting Oregon, Michigan, Michigan State, Clemson, NC State. Out of those three, do you have a lock, my friend, or are you kind of so-so on them? Is there a national game you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I think let me mention, watch Purdue tonight against Ohio State. Not that I think that Purdue's going to upset Ohio State, but I think you'll see Purdue expose some of the issues that Ohio State has with their pass defense, which may bode well for future opponents against Ohio State. I think that's a Jeff Brohm, hey, I'm here in college football. Louisville, you can't afford me. You can't afford the mess. I'm not coming back home. But Purdue is making the turn to be a respectable football program. I think there's no other coach in the country that wakes up this morning that needs a victory more than Jim Harbaugh, because it's against his rival, and that's a good Michigan team. He finally has a quarterback that can give them a couple of different options. He's got a great defense. You go past the first quarter against Notre Dame, since that first quarter, they have been tough to run or throw on. And I think Michigan wins today. And I will say this. I think the team that wins in East Lansing today wins the East Division.
Very fair. I think that's a great call. Sparty, feeling good, bounced back. Michigan is grabbing a lot of momentum for sure. Sharpie, we'll end it with this, and we'll see you a little bit later today at the stadium. Kranak got a warning on his way in this morning to the weekend edition show here in the rail yard. Vogel went in depth about getting pulled over on his way back to Hastings College, and he got searched. We don't know if there were any drug dogs involved or not. Do you have I got stopped, I got pulled over story to share with our friends?
Unfortunately, yes. When I was in college in Lincoln, we were not 21, and roommate had purchased some beer, and we were going down in the 19th G area of Lincoln where we all lived. We were going down this alley and speeding down an alley, which I know is not smart. 20 years later, I go, yeah, that's not smart. Lincoln police happened to see us, and the roommate who was driving the vehicle, instead of like pulling over and being smart and we take our lumps because we have beer in the car, unopened by the way, he decided to hit the gas, and it turned into about a 3-block chase, which
really
did not end so well for him. I will not reveal his name, but he is a CEO of a Fortune 500 company here in Omaha.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was unpleasant because I got a letter from Gary Lacey. Remember him, the Lancaster County attorney? Because I got charged with minor in possession. But that was dropped because they took it all out on the driver of the vehicle.
Good. You ratted on him a little too. Be like, hey, you guys want some additional information on this guy?
There's a lot of black lights in the apartment.
Yeah, that 6.5 years in college, that's quite the blur right now.
Well, you redshirted.
Yeah, you know what? Nebraska was winning. I thought, you know what? Might as well stay in college and ride this out. And then once they had a down year, I was like, I'm out. Might as well graduate.
Yep. Yeah,
I like it. Sharpie, we'll see you later, bud. A lot of fun. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks, guys, as always.
Take care. Gary Sharp with us, the Iron Horse. Who speeds down an alley?
I know. And how about the 3-block chase?
I know.
Like, that's pretty much a guy just being like, I'm out of here. Oh, wait, that's a dumb idea. Like, I mean, you know, that's a pretty fast decision to stop your chase.
I don't
chase.
Think they like it when you run from them on foot or in said vehicle.
Yeah, in general, it's just not a good idea. It's not a good idea.
Don't mess with Lincoln's finest.
No. Cameron Baker, by the way, Council Bluffs TJ, name to remember. Mm-hmm. Comparison, Trevor Roach.
Okay.
Think of a guy like that.
I loved watching Trevor Roach run the football and tackle people at Elkhorn.
A horse. Big frame. You can probably get him up to 240, 245. Really physical player.
He's very, very mobile and pretty fluid for as big a back as he is.
Yeah, he would be a linebacker, though. They'd put him in the middle. He likes hitting human beings. It's good. And it just, you know, when you watch what Nebraska's doing right now, you're sort of like, yeah, we want those kind of guys. Well, those kind of guys that really like to hurt the other team.
I like what Divino Zigbo's done. Good for him. Great, great story. And we'll see what he can do on the ground. If you're out and about in Lincoln today, reminding you to go see your friends at Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang, I tell you what, it is what every girl dreams about, and that's a one-carat diamond. Cranack's eyes just lit up. So did Mama's, Mama Cranack's. Sauter Heyman's offering a spectacular one-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Mm. Maybe it's time to get her that very first ring, or maybe it's time to upgrade with that special moment in life with an anniversary. So what I'm telling you now is get to Sauter Heyman, one carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month with your friends at Sauter Heyman. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. If you're bumping around downtown before Nebraska, Minnesota, 12th and 0, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, and our friends out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. We'll wind down a Saturday weekend edition here in the rail yard, getting ready for Nebraska, Minnesota, outside the Hale Varsity offices here, high above the rail yard. Reminder, 96 Kicks will get things rolling this afternoon, getting you pregame primed. And Real Red Reaction, the reaction show powered by Hale Varsity. As soon as the clock hits zero, it is Nick Gregeth, it is Danny Burke, it is Willie J. Your chance to sound off, react to a win with Nebraska, Minnesota. Quick timeout. We'll say goodbye next.
Now it's time to get back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranack.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Don't forget Real Red Reaction coming up, ESPN Lincoln. Your pal Nick Gregeth, Danny Burke, and Willie J. As soon as the clock's at zero, right here in the rail yard on location outside the Hail Varsity offices, we are here getting things primed up and kicked off for Nebraska and Minnesota. Chris Schmidt, Mark Cranack, Danny Burke. Cranack, you're filling out your confidence picks.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling?
There's a few that are standing out there that are really interesting. I mean, you got Penn State 15.5 at Indiana.
Do you know this gift Danny Burke has when it comes to picking?
No, is he the man?
His nickname's Casino Danny.
Well, of course.
The pride of Chicago. Danny, do you want to weigh in here with some locks for the people?
Yeah, if you give me some matchups, I'll do my best.
Well, okay. I want you to it's free advice for people, entertainment purposes only. What are three games you have circled today?
Ooh, three games I have circled. Well, I heard Cranack talking in the commercial break. You guys were talking about LSU and Mississippi State. I don't know if I absolutely love LSU covering 6.5. I mean, if you put the gun in my head, as I always like to say, I'd probably lean toward it. My big pick, though, believe it or not, I'm gonna parlay LSU and Nebraska here for even odds. That's my big pick of the day. I think the Huskers get it done for sure. I like the over in the Huskers in the game today.
What's that at right now?
Let me see. I had it at, I think, 54.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah.
54. I bought like half a point. And then also Oregon and Washington State, 66. The over is hit for like both teams consistently this year, so it's one of those trends you have to keep hitting until it doesn't hit. So those are my college picks. And also I like Maurice Washington getting over 49.5 yards today. A little prop bet there for you guys.
I think that's got to happen.
Well, unless they go with the steady diet of a Zigbo.
You're not going to try and do that against the Minnesota rush defense, I don't think.
I like Maurice at home, man.
Yeah, I don't mind that one either. I like this other one too, North Carolina State. 17.5 point dogs at Clemson.
Yeah, on the forecast, I think Schmidty and I both took North Carolina State. I don't see how you don't. That's a huge spread, even on the road.
And they're decent defensively, and Clemson is, you know, not really pulling away from people lately.
Right. Yeah. You think Clemson's a little bored?
I don't know if there's so much bored as they're just not. I think they're just a little discombobulated. Yeah, I just don't think they're
at peak efficiency right now. And then you got Michigan State, 7-point dogs at home.
I think Sharpie nailed it. I think your winner of the East is the winner today, because you still have Ohio State. They have to go to East Lansing. Ohio State's got to go to Michigan this year.
It's tough to pick against Sparty. Isn't it? In general, it is tough to pick against Sparty, particularly in emotional games. You know, they're a fairly emotional team. At home, Michigan, rival, they've owned Harbaugh, they've owned Michigan for a while.
There's been some acts of God, okay, that have helped their number. Head-to-head with
Sure, but 7 points is a lot, is what I'm saying.
It is in a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. Danny, what's our shot clock look like, brother?
We're supposed to wrap up right about now, my friend.
Okay, that means Danny is throwing the gauntlet down. Listen to Danny Burke, Nick Gregeth, Willie J. Real Red Reaction as soon as Nebraska beats Minnesota, or if Nebraska falls to Minnesota. Your chance to react, as the fellas will be here in the rail yard. Mark Kranak, good to see you, brother.
Godspeed,
big thanks
sir.
To Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, and Brandon Vogel. And if you missed part of the show, you can log on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Take the podcast with you. We'll talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.